Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, nikah qade masno dukhe dil ka marham, ye farma gaye hai rasoole mukarram, ye farma gaye hai رسول مکرم, یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ, یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ, بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم, بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم, نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم, یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم. یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک, یہ شادی کی تقریب سب کو مبارک, یہ نعمت خدا کی طہارت کا پرچم, طہارت کا پرچم, فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے, فضاؤں میں عقد نکاح جلوہ گر ہے, مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم, مبارک 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 ہو پہ ہم, نکاح عقد مسنو.
7 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning here in Johannesburg. And currently it's raining as we speak to you on this beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. It's pouring here in Lanesia. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who has just walked in, and of course we're going to be welcoming him shortly, inshallah. It's the 16th of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1443, which is also the 19th of January, 2022. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, and I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, who will be with us till 12 o'clock. Let's welcome our beloved senior, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener says here, dear Mufti Saab, my husband's second wife is my stepsister. Is or are we not sinful? It is my mother's daughter from her second marriage after my death. Ustad, anonymous.
I'm not clear with what the question is, but anyway, you must remember, if it is like this, that your husband is married to his stepsister or stepsister's daughter. So remember, that will be haram and not permissible. By stepsister, now it depends what you mean. That one, you know, our people confuse the terms. So if you mean that they all are sharing the same father or the same mother, so then that is haram, obviously. That's not permissible. If you mean that your father got remarried and then that lady there came, you must remember, with her daughter from a previous marriage, and now that your brother or somebody married her, so then that is permissible. Let me give you an example. That a person is married, right? So I'm married and I got a son, for example. And then you must remember that that lady there, she has a daughter from a previous marriage. So now if I marry her, example, so remember, I can't marry her daughter, remember, after I consummate the marriage with her. But my son and that her daughter, so they strangers for one another. So remember, in a case like that, their marriage will be permissible. So that is how. So this word step, you must understand, because you'll lose it, you'll use it, but very loosely. So it depends. If you mean it's the same father or same mother, then it's haram. But if you mean that that lady who got married, or her daughter got married, but her parents are totally different, and you must remember, remember, this boy, yeah, his parents are different. So in a case like that, then there's no problem. It's permissible then.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that do parents have the rights over their daughters, Ustad, to choose for a spouse?
Remember that once the lady is aqila and baligha, sane and mature, then obviously that you, the father, and them must give permission. And then she can't just get married unilaterally. The hadith is clearly mentioned in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and Bishkat, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin. That nikah is not valid without the consent of the wali. So that is something. But that is the permission. One is to impose upon her that you, the father, tell the daughter, she's 18, 20, 25 years old, you must marry this person. That you don't have the right to do so. Islamically, that will be wrong. So both of sides, the parents and the daughter, you should have mutual consultation. Quran Kareem speaks of it so many places. Wa amruhum shura baynahum. The whole chapter 42 is called Surah Shura, chapter on consultation. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. In important matters, you must make mashura. And in the hadith, if you open Maqasid al-Hasana by Allama Sakhawi, rahimahullah, you will find beautiful, مَا خَابَ مَنْ إِسْتَخَارَ. A person will not be a failure who makes istikhara. وَلَا نَدِمَ مَنْ إِسْتَشَارَ. And a person who makes mashura will not have regret and so forth. So therefore, our advice to all parties concerned will be, you the daughter, you should not get married. Remember, married to who? To a person from Ahlu Sunnah. You can't marry the Kuffar Shia or Qadiani or Agahani and those people there. So you get married to a person of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And your parents are happy, they gave permission, so very good. But by the same token, you the parents cannot impose upon your daughter who is sane and mature, aqila, baligha, that she must get married to so and so person, wahiya kariha, while she dislikes it and so forth. So it's a give and take situation.
Someone says, my children passed matric last year, Mufti Saab. So now how do I ask them to start paying rent to me or moving out to Strada?
So you must remember that today when I was having breakfast, they said that there was 98% pass of the independent schools and so forth and so. And I got a shock when I heard somebody, a Muslim person, got 10 distinctions, you know. So we say, good, if they're doing well, and inshallah, that boy there, I forget his name, but anyway, that he, or you must remember, is going to serve Islam or something, even if he becomes a doctor or he becomes an engineer or lawyer, but he serves the ummah. So there are many ways of serving the ummah. So that is what you should do. Now you must remember, if your son is 17, 18, 20 years old, and now they finish matric, so now it is no more your responsibility that you must now tell them that, you know, that you have to maintain them, sustain them. So you can tell them, this is what my advice to you will be, that you should tell your son that now you can study via UNISA and study, you must remember, via correspondence, get a part-time job, and you must start paying the water lights, or you must pay the rental, or you must pay for the groceries, or some responsibility you give him. So 100% Islamically, you are entitled to impose that upon him. But if it's a daughter, then you don't have the right to do that. The daughter you have to maintain till she gets married, and remember, that will be compulsory upon the parents. But the son, so yes, you got all the right. So tell him to go and study, and he must work also, and easy, he can do that today. So in that way there, half the time, quarter the time he study, half the time he works, and half the time, quarter the time he's relaxing. He got enough leisure time as well, and then he must make your khidmat and serve all the parents and so forth. So that's very good. They must learn responsibility. They can't just be, you know, sponging off the parents and living like parasites and so forth. No, my father will pay, my mother will pay. That is how we spoil our children. Remember that.
Listen to this one, Ustad. Mufti Saab, do I have to make parda from my brother-in-law? I cannot marry him, so can we all have meal together without parda? Ustad, anonymous.
Before I respond to that, I supposed to start with this and I forgot, but nevertheless, so let me make two announcements. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. One of our avid listeners there in Mauritius, our sister Amina, her mother passed away. She was in the 90s, very, very old, and we received the news this morning. So make dua for her, for our sister Amina, there in Mauritius, that her mother passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant the marhuma Jannat al Firdaus al A'la. Allah Jalla Wala grant our sister Amina and her family, her children, and all of them, her husband, Dr. Saab, and all that sabre jameel. But we all know one day we have to leave this world. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala have mercy on the marhuma and grant the Jannat al Firdaus. Second announcement, our one auntie, you know, she is there in Stenerton, Rahima Masi. So in Mammon, we say Rahima Masi. But anyway, Rahima Masi, she's also in the 90s or so, our Ashraf's mother. So anyway, she's also critically ill there in the Marisburg Hospital. So make dua for her. Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayra laha fa'ahiha. Ya Allah, if life is better for her, give her life. Wa in kanatil wafatu khayra laha fatawafaha. Ya Allah, if death is better, give death. That is what Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, that when people are critically ill and the doctors also say they can't do really much and so forth, so that is the type of dua we must make. Ya Allah, if life is better, give life. If death is better, give death. And daily give out some charity, 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand, $1, 1 rupee, whatever, and give it to any poor person, Muslim or non-Muslim, and make multiple intentions. Ya Allah, our marhumin, that is our deceased who passed away with Iman and Islam, grant them all Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. And those who are ill and sick, Ya Allah, you grant them shifa. Now, this is the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'u mardakum bisadaqa. Yeah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the ummah, give out one form of the, you know, charity, and that will be one type of dawa and medication for those who are sick and ill, and by giving charity in cash or kind. The hadith in the marasil of Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. Okay, you sister, you have your wires little bit mixed up there. So your question is this: your sister is married to ABC. So now when your sister comes to your house, so he is there, your sister's husband, your brother-in-law, and then you and you all have meals together, is that permissible? Then you will chat and joke and all haram totally. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamu al-maut. You must remember that your sister's husband and brother-in-law and so forth, you must fear for them like how you fear death. You must remember. So you say you can't marry him, but remember he is ajnabi for you. He is still a stranger for you, because after your sister passes away, you can marry him. So parda is always compulsory. You can't travel with him. You can't be alone with him and so forth. So remember, he's not a mahram for you. He's an ajnabi. He's total stranger for you. Similarly, that you turn the other way. My brother is married and he's got his wife. So now the other brother. So my brother is married, I go to my brother's wife's house and so forth. We know she's alone and so forth. So all that is haram, this type of thing. That alhamu al-maut. So how you fear death, you must fear the brother-in-law as well. So what you are suggesting is totally haram and not permissible.
I see there's a brother from Roshni Mufti Saab. He likes the program and he says, a small piece of advice to him, Ustad. How do I propose to a girl I like? I seen her from a distance and I want her to be my wife. How do I approach her? Ustad, some remedies there, Ustad?
But how you can just see the girl and then you want to go and propose to her? Always do your homework, my brother. Maybe you just saw the chemistry. Maybe you just saw the anatomy. Maybe you just saw the biology. You see, it is her figure to bohari lage, you see. So these type of things, so that can be very deceiving. First of all, what is a belief system? Maybe she's a Shia. Maybe she's a Qadiani. Maybe Agahani. So first thing you must find out her belief structure. That's number one. Number two is just find out about the family, how dedicated they are to Deen and Islam. Once you get married, you must, this morning I gave this advice because the Imam read in Salat, in Fajr Salat, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. So many times what the Imam reads, then Allah just puts a hadith in my head and then I just explain it. So I said, see brothers, that our imams have read the ayat surah 25 verse 74. Now what the hadith sharif says, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith authentic in Mishkat Sharif Mustad Ahmad, Ad-dunya kulluha mata', that this whole world is mata', mata', a place of taking benefit from. But wa khayru mata'id dunya, the best benefit a person can take, al mar'atu saliha, a pious lady. See, because you must remember she will become your wife and she'll become the mother of your children. When you educate a male, you educated one person. You educate a female, you're educating a family. So now her belief structure must be right. Her character has to be right. How dedicated, devoted are they? That there is a family and that lady to religion of Islam. Does she perform salat or not? What's the sense you're going to marry her because her figure is right? She's slim and she's trim and she's the woman of your dreams and so forth. All the specifications are right, but she doesn't read one salat. Maybe Friday, Jumma, big night she'll read. So what good is that, brother? So always these are things that you should, must always do your homework. So get your family members, your sister, your mother, everybody involved, and tell them, make some investigation regarding this lady and so forth. So once you have done all that and then you are happy, then you contact the girl's parents and say, we want to come, you know, and see the girl. Don't say propose, we just want to see, and let them see you and you see her, and you won't be alone. So her father or her brother must be there, and then you can speak and see. So what is your age, what is this, what is that? That will we stay separate? And so all that issues must be clarified already. Then after 1 week, 2 weeks, you both have, you'll understand that liking to one, you propose then. And if you don't, then tell them that no, you're not interested or whatever. So that is how you go about it. Not just look at the chemistry and anatomy and biology and say, I got the right lucky packet. You understand? So no, brother, it don't work like that. That is shaitaniyat. You're going to get fall in a big trap then. So that is why. And you see today, just take South Africa, and you will see that how, you must remember, the divorce rate is spiraling out of control because of this. You see the last nikah I performed in Newcastle, there the Darul Uloom. So I gave, let me give this, it's good advices for everybody. So number one, mother, first I said, you brothers, we are here, right? So what is a nikah? So nikah is that institution. It will, Mawlana Arafat performs nikah, I perform nikah, you perform nikah. So ordinary sinners, ordinary people, mortals like us, we perform the nikah. Surah 44 verse 54, Allah says, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ, that Allah himself will perform the nikah in Jannah with the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. So the institution of nikah will continue in the year after. From there alone, you can understand what a sacred institution. Someone came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, so see how he defined it. He was a master, a linguist par excellence. So what he said, Sururu Shahreen. What is nikah? Every phrase he ended with a ra, with a re. Sururu Shahreen, 1 month's happiness. Luzumu Mahreen, you pay the marital gift. You know, 20,000, 18,000, whatever like that, or 1,000, whatever. So that is the mahar, the marital gift. Then, humumu Dahreen, now life of responsibility. Wife gets sick, children get sick, this happened, that happened. So duk, suk, all that, you are involved. You must remember that. Happiness, joy, prosperity, adversity, calamity. Then kusuru zahareen. Now you see, you've gone a little bit in ruku. You see, you're bending now. All the worries, they finish you up. So see the ending now, he comes. What he said? Sururu shahreen, luzumu mahreen, humumu dahreen, kusuru zahreen, and ending, nuzulu qabreen, and we put you in the grave. See, that is Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu, linguist par excellence. Then I said, you brother, you're getting married now. This is your happy day. But remember, if you want a bed of roses, not a bed of thorns, then both parties must adopt the quality of taqwa. Therefore, all the verses I will read now, before the nikah is actually performed and solemnized, every verse got to do with taqwa. So again, Nusiba ila Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is attributed to Sayyidina Ali. What is taqwa? So everyone, the phrase, he ended with alarm. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel, and you fear Allah. In khalwa and jalwa, in privacy and public, not in front of people, we pious at evening time, night time, we busy with the internet, chatting, porn and all that. No. So al-khawfu min al-jaleel, wal-amalu bit-tanzeel, you practice on Quran, Sharif, Sunnah, Mubarakah, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, or not follow our own riwaj, our custom, tradition, our Gam mentality from India. So that is not taqwa, that is Lal Kitab stories. And war rida bil qaleel, you're happy, content with the little you have. So see everyone end with alarm. الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل. And you prepare in this world for your day of departure. So why did this? Because a lot of students were there still. So I said at least they can learn, and that they were fascinated. They all come with that. So anyway, they wanted it. So I told them it's recorded. They can get it from the muazzin there. So in that way there, that is the recipe for a wonderful marriage, brother, in Roshni. So you want Roshan in Roshni? Taqwa is the vital ingredient.
Subhanallah, he says, I am a bit good looking as well. Don't forget that, 29 years old to start.
So if you're good looking, 29 years old, what are you waiting for, my brother? You can't be waiting for 40 years. 40 years, the Anbiya used to get, Nabi or Prophet used to get Wahi. So you must get married now. We are already in Jumad al-Akhirah. So then will come Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, Shawwal. So Shawwal is the best month. So make everything tip-top now and get married. Married in Shawwal, Ramadan time, you go sit for etikaf. Because after marriage, very difficult for you, because you want to be with your wife then. So you got the advice, brother. Good looking, but you're not married. That not solve the problem, you know. Yeah, can be good looking, but get married also.
Somebody says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. We appreciate all the work you are doing. I want to take a second wife. Please, can we come to Markaz Sahaba Studios and can you perform the nikah for us? But don't mention our name because my wife doesn't know Ustad.
So you must remember that nikah must be performed in a masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'alinun nikah. Announce the nikah. Hadith in Tirmidhi. Waj'aluhu fil masajid. And perform the nikah in the masjid. So how are you going to make justice? Quran Kareem says, you say you want to get married. Right? That's what you said. So I gave you the hadith. And I'm telling you what Quran says. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. So if you fear that, you must remember that you can't do justice, so you must stick with your first wife, your only wife. You see that Surah 4 verse 3. So already your first wife mustn't know. All clandestine activities, cloak and dagger activities, you call it. So what justice you going to do, brother? So remember that kandika we don't perform. First thing, you come to me and all that and you tell me I must perform. So I will tell you I'm phoning your wife straight away. Understood? So that is what I will do. So you must remember this kind of things. Yeah. Because today, too many all unda danda. Therefore, whenever I perform nikah, I ask the groom, where's your father? So then he'll say, yeah, father passed away, where's your uncle, where's your brother, like that. So then I'll ask the wakil, that you, therefore I always advise this. And last nikah also, my brother Faisal Desai, so my neighbor and them, so mashallah in Newcastle, I told him, you the father, so you must be the wakil. So that's why we know that everything is above board. There's no all unda danda and cloak and dagger business, clandestine activities. So because people today give you a lot of stories, you must remember that. Now imagine the brother says, I'll come here and I must perform the nikah. You understand? So what will happen? He'll drag me inside his stories. You must remember. But he doesn't know that we got, with Allah's help, some experience we got, you know? So that we will say, come, and then we'll phone your wife. And then you must go back and this type of thing. You see, story time now. So story time is this. The one husband, he phoned his wife. He told, oh my poppy, oh my darling, I'm bringing food from the second wife. You see, I'm bringing food from the second wife and all that. So he brought the food and that, and the wife was waiting there with a big danda and a big stick and dust and all that. Such a thrashing she gave him. When he woke up in ICU. So then he told the wife, the second wife is a restaurant's name. You understood? So the wife thought he made second nikah privately. And when he came home, she gave him, she donored him, gave him a good hiding and everything. Then she realized that, you know what a mess she made. So sometimes the restaurant's name is second wife, you see. So you must think properly also what you're doing.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Ustaz, I see somebody says here, sir, I embraced Islam a month ago, and I was told that now my wife is no longer mine. So what happens with my kids now? Am I still the father? And what does it make them, Ustad?
You must remember, my brother, I don't know your circumstances, but anyway, very good question. You embrace Islam. Write this down. Make a note of it. Record it if you got your phone there. So in a case like that, when any non-Muslim embraces Islam and is sincere and devoted, dedicated to Islam, chapter 8, surah 8, verse 38, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell the non-Muslims that when they abstain and refrain from the kufr and the shirk, the blasphemy, and from the polytheism and shirk, and they embrace Islam, Allah's fadl, Allah's grace, mercy comes, يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. The sins of the past are forgiven, right? The sins they committed against Almighty Allah. So that is chapter 8, surah 8, surah Anfal, and verse number 38. So that is number 1. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, innal islama yahdimu ma kana qabla, that verily Islam erases, expunges the sins of the past, is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, and so forth. So that is number 2. Number 3, you married. So in a case like that, you embrace Islam, then we must present Islam to your wife. So two options. So either she embraces Islam, then everything is fine. And if she doesn't embrace Islam, then your marriage is broken to her. You can't be loving with her. She can't be loving with you. Now, what about you and your children? So if you were a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu, and some form of ceremony you underwent, whether in the church, whether in the temple, whether in a synagogue, whether in a hotel, civic center, wherever, so all your children are halal, that are permissible, legitimate children, their lineage will go to you. They will carry your surname, they'll carry your name, and the status quo will remain. It will still continue like that. The only thing will be for you, you must keep contact with your children, they must keep contact with you. But you and your wife, now because she refuses to embrace Islam, so in a case like that, you cannot live together as husband-wife. So either you move out or either she moves out. out, but you should pray to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Ya Allah, soften her heart and let her embrace Islam. So that will be the ruling in that situation.
Ustad, the brother that posed that question about a second nikah, he says, but Mufti Sahib, you mentioned on air that we should not get permission from the first wife. So why should we phone her, Mufti Sahib?
So you must remember that one is you don't require permission, but you want to change the whole thing to suit your agenda, then if you're not going to inform her, how are you going to make justice and all that? You're going to meet the second wife in the hotel and make hit and run business and all that. So all that you must remember is haram and not permissible.
So I do want to distribute my belongings, Mufti Saab, to my kids now while I have life in me. Is this permissible, or do I have to put everything in a world ustad?
Remember that it depends. If you are a man of substance, you own 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 100 million. So my advice to all the mortars, we call them the mortars, the big shots, you know, financially they're very, very strong and still very, very rich and affluent and so forth. So why must you go and pay the government the death duty and this duty and that custom and this and this and all? Then look for loopholes. One Maulana, one Mufti will tell you, you can take out this insurance. We reject all that. So the best thing for you is, this weekend, yeah, you have a meeting. And a meeting with your children. And if somebody stays far, they are in Cape Town or in Hong Kong or what, so you make a conference call. So in a conference call, so everybody can hear what is happening. And then you say that this is the hadith of Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. Wattaqullah wa adilu bayna awladikum. Fear Almighty Allah Jalla Wala and exercise justice amongst your children. So tomorrow this time, between 11 and 12, inshallah al-aziz, we will have part 2, Moha Zahid Khan and myself. Last week, I see we had a very good feedback. Ameen. People said, send me the podcast. So alhamdulillah, this podcast is very good, you know. You can listen to it in your leisure time for the pleasure of Allah. So tomorrow, between 11 and 12, we will have the part 2 of inheritance. So these type of issues also will be discussed. So you, father, so you have the conference call. I'm just breaking it up, right? So now what you're going to do is that you have, for example, now 3 sons and you have 2 daughters and so forth, and then you got your wife, right? So now you say, I want to give everybody certain amount. So now for you give 12.5% to your son, 12.5% son, 12.5% to son, and then to your daughters, like this. So now everybody, now there are 8 people involved there. So for example, what I said, 3 sons and make it, you say 4 daughters, so it's 7, and the wife is 8. So now is that way there, so each one 12.5%, you give them cash, you give them kind and all that. So in that way, you transferred it to them. Now, when you transfer it to them, you, the baji, you, the owner, the father, you can't make conditions. You can't say, I'm giving you the car, but then I'll take the car whenever I want to. That I'm giving you the flat, but the income must come to me. No, you can't make conditions. So when you have hiba means you're giving them as a gift. You're donating it to them. So they must take possession of it, physical possession. Or if it is property and all that, the title deeds, all that must be transferred on their name. And then you, the wahib, the giver, the donor, you cannot stipulate any conditions. So that you must do. And then when you pass away, you left with 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. You'll be below the threshold, so there won't be the death duty and all this chakkar and long stories. So that will be an easy way for you to do. Totally permissible. Not only permissible, I encourage all the rich people to do that, so that you die and you know that there won't be big problems after your death, because majority of your assets you already already gave it out to your wife, to your children, and so forth. And for your beloved wife, beside that, you want to give her other things, the children cannot object. You must remember that, because she is your partner, your wife, for past 20, 40, 50 years. So you gave her 12.5%, then you tell her, darling, leave the children now, I give you another 12.5%. So nobody can object on that. It's 100% permissible.
Subhanallah. So Mufti said, my son refuses to go to varsity, only wants to go to madrasa. What do I do?
Very good. Make 2 rakat salah to shukr. Why are you objecting? So mashallah, you want to send him to a toxic environment. What's going to happen in a university? The drugs are there, the gay brigade is there, the zina is there, fornication is there, all the haram you can think of. What they teach there half the time is kufr and shirk and so forth. Your son says, no, me, I want to go to the madrasa, to the Darul Uloom, I'll become a hafiz, I'll become a alim. You should be reading 2 rakat salah to shukr, my brother. But why you upset? You say, Gemol, you see, I give you a story. You like stories, you know. So I'm from Heidelberg, you know. So it was the 11th of March. You can check it up also. It was a Sunday, 11th of March. So 1974. So Heidelberg is a small town. So all the men came to our house, you know, my father, my brothers, all the. I still remember the clothing I was wearing, shirt and trouser and all that, you know. So I still remember that also. So the one chap say, oh, they to call us all Hafiz boys, Hafiji, you see. So he say, all shortcut Hafiji, you see, like that, yeah. So the one, oh, they all passed away now. So one chap said, so he said, Hafiji, tame ja molvi banwanu, Gujarati, you see. So I'm, you know, na ji. He say, molvi no pagar to bo chuche. That your wages is very little, but you see, bye, I'm going the next day, Monday, and you giving me this kind of advice. So the whole thing boils down to rands and cents and dollars and all this type of stuff. But I can tell you this, that remember, he passed away, but Allah Ta'ala give them Jannatul Firdaus, but the money he had and the money I have is much more. So you must remember this type of things. You understand what I'm trying to say? So you don't have to worry about these type of things, that whatever is in your taqdeer, Allah will give you, whether people like, don't like that, you don't have to worry about people. Understand? And don't go and beg people. You must remember this. Allah say mangna head. That's why we dead against these molvis and ulama who go shop to shop and beg and all. So, and then the other badi stood up. He said, oh, Afiji, that trustee tabo kharab che. I'm mutawalli. Then, if you shout the son of the mutawalli, then they're going to fire you. So all these kind of things they're telling me, you see. They all bichara passed away. Allah give them.
Amen.
So I'm asking you, brother, be honest about this. Be 100% honest. I don't know you, right? You ask me for advice. Let's speak heart to heart. Why are you so disappointed that your son says you want to go madrasa and you want he must go varsity? Because if he goes varsity, he'll become a doctor, he'll become a lawyer, he'll become a sharpshooter, he'll get 50, 100, 200, 500,000 a month, and bichara molvi sahab, he'll get 5,000, 10,000. Isn't it? That's the story. But why you don't say that Allah shukr, my son, inshallah, will become hafiz, he'll become alim, he will become an asset to society. So many thousand people can benefit, become Muslim and so forth. So his investment is in the year after. And your investment is only for dunya, that also may be if he doesn't lose his iman and his virginity and shame and modesty in the university. Today, let us be honest. We must be honest. We can't adopt ostrich mentality. Today's universities in the Western world, in our country, is a brothel. Remember that. It's 100% brothel. You must remember this. Hey, people, I go, I lecture there. What questions they ask? I'll end off with this, then we go for a break. Imam Shafi, Rahimahullah's teacher, Imam Sufyan bin Uyayna, he said, oh parents, I want to tell you something. You as parents, your rank is much, much superior to anybody else. But minnahiya, from one perspective, the teacher's rank is greater than your rank. Subhanallah. How can that be, Imam Sufyan? You're the great giant. Explain to us. He said the parents' concern is to save the son or the daughter from the fire of this world. The ustad's concern is to save the son or the daughter from the fire of hell. So imagine what a great statement by what a giant great imam. So when your son is going to become Hafiz Alim, his concern is the year after. And your concern is only the money and the paisa. Hello paisa. You know hello paisa nowadays. Hello paisa is a lot in the news also. So my brother, think properly. And you son, you don't listen to your father. You don't listen to your father. There is no son upon you. So, لا طاعة لمخلوقين في معصية الخالق. He can blow his top. You tell him, me, I'm going Darulum, I'm going Madrasa. Allah. And there, I'm not listening to you. So there is 100% right. You don't listen to him.
Allahu Akbar. When it's 14 minutes to 12 o'clock, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, somebody says here that, dear Honorable Mufti Saab, there are messages going around that if you inform somebody or you tell somebody or you give them a news about the month of Ramadan, before the month of Ramadan appears or comes, the person will go to Jannah. How true is that? Is it authentic, Ustad?
I received this message from so many people from yesterday, day before yesterday, this morning also. Remember, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, this is now a term we use, is mutawatir. Mutawatir means that there are so many different chains of transmission that it has reached the status of celebrity. So hadith is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man kadaba alayya mutaammidan, when you lie against me deliberately, intentionally, falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar, so you must build your resting place and reserve your place in Jahannam already. Hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasai, Ibn Majah, Mustan Ahmad, and it goes on and on the list. So remember that this is an absolute lie, fabrication. Therefore you, the people, when you see something, then rather pose the question like this: I received this, is this authentic? Don't just send it out that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who gives Bisharat, glad tidings to the person that this year Ramadan is starting on 1st April or 2nd April or 3rd April. This is not some April Fool joke, and so it's a serious matter. Remember that. So you land up in Jahannam. So yes, if you're asking is it authentic, that's fine. So totally rejected, and it is a fabrication, and to attribute it to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is totally haram and unacceptable.
Somebody says, Ustad, husband and wife, I have having too many problems. Who should we go to for advice? Any senior alim, Ustad?
Remember, anything you want to know, you must first go to the noble Quran, the Sunnah Mubarakah, and then we can give you the advices. So Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, and verse number 34, 35. Write it down, every couple. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, the chapter regarding women. Verses 34, 35. So Almighty Allah says, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُورَ. When you, the man, you see that your wife is now disrespectful, disobedient, rebellious, she don't want to read salat, she don't want to wear modest clothes, she don't want to even cook for you, and so forth. I'm just giving examples. So what are the remedies? What are the solutions? It's a problem, right? So Quran is giving you step by step. Faizu hunna. Husband, wife, among yourself. So give her good advice. Speak to her in a very kind, polite manner. You see, you need to understand the terminology of Quran. Waaz. Waaz means tarqiqul qulub. Speak to her to melt her heart. That is the meaning there. And it must be only between husband and wife. Not you go and shout in front of the children and go by the Maulana and the Mufti and the Imam. And no, nothing like that. Still she's not listening. Second step. وَهَجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. You separate the bed. Separate the bed don't mean that you take a saw and go make your double bed, two single beds now. No. You go sleep in another room. because she must know you are upset now. You don't fulfill her conjugal relationship. Or even in the same bedroom you sleep with her, on the double bed, but you don't fulfill. So she must know that you're not happy and pleased with her. So, but it don't mean that you're not fulfilling her rights, you get busy with your secretary or something. So all that is haram, obviously. So that's second one. She is still not interested. Some women, they won't learn. So not all, some of them. Some men are also very obstinate and stubborn. So wadribuhun. Wadribuhun don't mean you take out a belt and a stick and start hitting her. So all that is totally haram. If the husband does that, leave all the molanas and imams and sheikhs and what, go straight to the police and lay a charge of assault. They must put him in jail. You see? So wadribuhun means you take a miswak, you take a ruler and just tap her slowly. So that is called shock therapy. Even today, these people, they'll use it. So that is shock therapy. So that is the third one. So all this is between husband and wife. And still things are not happening, is not improving. Now you get outside help. The next verse, Surah 5, verse 35. All Almighty Allah states, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. So when you fear, at the 11th hour, this marriage will break. فَبْأَثُوا حَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. That you appoint arbitrator from her side and from the husband's side. Even at the 11th hour, Quran is saying, when you, the arbitrators, go in the room for the meeting, if you make intention for reconciling, Allah will guide you, Allah will help you, and inshallah the marriage will be saved. My one uncle, you know, he passed away in a masjid, you know, making dua and so forth. I always think that this man here, that if you look at him, I don't think he ever wore a kurta in his life. I never saw him. Or things like that, you know. But he saved so many marriages. So I said, this is the reason. Allah let him pass away like that with such honor and so forth. So he saved the marriages. So this is a very big ibadat. Islah bain al-nas. You reconcile the couple and so forth. So that is now the fifth step. You see that? So first one you did is waaz. Second one is separation. Third one is that the shock therapy. Fourth step is this, you must remember arbitrators. Now the fifth step we go to. So what is that? Then you bring in your Maulanas and so forth and so on and Jamiats and whoever you want to. See, we here at Markaz Sahaba, want to make this clear also, we are here to guide you. But you can't come here by us or any member of Markaz Sahaba and say, I want to meet you and this and that. We don't do these things here. There are various organizations who do this type of things. So you must go by them and then they will sort you out. So because we don't do all this, so many people, they contact me. I say, no, we don't do these things here because we got our own job to do and they got their own job to do. So mashallah, you go to whoever you got confidence in and they will help you out. So that is our advice regarding that issue.
See those messages, this message that came in now, Ustad. I know you told me, Inna Allah ma'asafirid. There's messages going around about you and your pal, Maulana Arafat. We are ashamed of you all, too, and you claim to be a mufti. Allah stick, don't make a sound. Remember that. Anonymous Ustad.
So you must remember, we feel very happy, my brother, that this kind of messages come about. You see, when the ulama speak the truth, then messages will come out. Because the people are in panic mode. They're getting exposed, you must remember. When nobody send messages out, then you must remember the people are grandstanding. They play to the tune of the public. You see, this place, they will let the politicians, they will go here, they will go there, they will go there. So mashallah, for us, we used to all these things, yeah, because we speak the truth. And now after this program, again, I will send out things. I just saw 11 o'clock when I just switch on my phone. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai is exposing all your pals and the lies they spoke there. They say that their verdict is binding on the South African Muslim community. What a lie. What fraudsters you are. You must remember that. You are the bunch that you all are. Bunch of clowns, you must remember. That you all close the masjid. You can't speak one word against the Saudi regime. Why you can't speak one word against the Saudi regime? You can't speak against the Shias. You can't speak against the Saudi regime. You can't speak one word against the government because you're bootlicking them. Hang your heads in shame, man. And you go as the friends of the court with the lesbians. What worse thing than that? So that is all our objections. You must remember that. And I told you before, you tell all your pals. Me, I'm prepared to take them live debate. I told you this many times. Not one is prepared to come. They'll write all these things there. You come with whoever you want to. We discuss closing of the masjid. We discuss why you can't object on the Shias, why you can't object on the Saudis, why you can't, you must remember about the matrimonial regime and all that. We discuss about, you must remember, the current thing that you're lying to the public. So you'll have lost all credibility because this nifaq and hypocrisy, Allah is exposing it. So you can make 100 pamphlets. We don't hide behind curtains and that. So everybody knows that what we speak, what we say, y'all are the ones you hide behind your wife's parda. You see? So who's the cowards? Who's the hypocrites and all that? You can work it out yourself. So the public has seen through all of you. You must remember this. All your Uksa and Jusa and Darul Ihsan and whatever else, MJC and whatever. Whole lot we exposed, you must remember. The whole halal industry, remember. And again now, after the program, we're going to send out things there. So the truth can never ever be removed, my brother. And the batil will always be exposed. Quran says this. Inna al-batil kana zahuka. To you who send me the message, we're very happy, my brother. That anybody sends me the message, I laugh. I tell them these brothers are in panic mode. You understand? They don't know what to do. Because we're exposing everything of theirs. You want more? So you must send me message, ummati, everything is there. And inshallah, next week, you will see some other things happening, inshallah, Aziz.
Inshallah, ameen. I see there are some elders here, mashallah, Ustad. Haji Soli Hefaji and Uncle Zakaria, mashallah. They're here in the studio, they came to listen to us. And I see Ba, Ustad, from what Bank says, Mufti Sab, tell us who are these rascals. We will handle them for you, Ustad.
We don't worry about these things here. We speak to Almighty Allah. I told you before how many times people threaten us with lawyers' letters and this and this. Every time the verdict comes out in our favor. Every time, with Allah's help. So we don't worry of these things here. I'm in media with Allah's help over 20 years now. So we used to all these things here. So the Jutlas will object, the Shias will object, this one will object, the Maulvis will object. So our mission is to speak the truth according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, not to curry favor with any person, with any politician, with any organization and any government. So that is our stance. You must remember that very clearly. So therefore you can go fly a kite as far as I'm concerned.
One more, Ustad. Mauritius, overseas, Ustad. It says here, a child is adopted. So does Jannat lies under the adopted parents or biological parents? Yet not knowing the biological parents, what are the rights of adopted parents and children to each other, Ustad?
This morning after Fajr, I met the one Baji. I tell him, Baji, what's the news? He said, the news is my son went yesterday to the High Court. I say, who tell you? What happened? So he said, no, that now they got custody and all that of the child, but still temporary and so. So I told him, I say, tell your son and his wife and them, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ana wa kafirul yateem kahatain. Yet I, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people who bring out this yateem, children, orphan children, and so forth. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you, the person bringing up this orphan children and so forth, we don't even know who's the father and whether it's halal child, haram child, Allah alone knows. So you, the person, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person, kahatain, will be so close. The master alayhi salam took the index finger and the middle finger and joined it and said, we'll be so close. So this great, great reward, because now you're going to take care of somebody's son, somebody's daughter, they're 1 year old, 3 years old, 4 years old, whatever the case might be. So great, great reward. But you must remember regarding adoption, three things. That if you're adopting, then they must use their biological father. father's surname, not your name. Surah 33, verse 5. Ud'uhum li'abaihim wa aqsatu indallah. Second one is this, that once they grow up, the laws of parda, hijab, is compulsory. And third one, you must remember they won't inherit. You can bequeath for them up to one third. So that is what you must realize. Okay, next up we have the news headlines and news with Brother Yusuf Ali, and thereafter the Majlis of Mufti Ibrahim Salehji, the importance and significance of Sahaba radiallahu an. Then 1 o'clock Azan, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Yasin, verses 22 to 32. Then 1:30 to 2, Surah Bani Israel, verses 1:03 to 1:06. 2 to 3, current affairs by Yusuf Ali. And then 3 to 3:35, inshallah, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:35 to 4, Surah Nasr, Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri in Urdu, that will be. 4 to 5, Surah Furqan, Maulana, that is chapter 25, Maulana Ridwan Kaji, inshallah. Then 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of Surah Yasin, that is 1:05 to 1:30, inshallah, that what we did. So that will be the repeat. 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 10, first hour with Dr. Shankara Chetty. He's a very good on this topic here about the anti-vaxxing and all that, very good. And then you must speak, that is between 8 and 9. Then 9 to 9:30, Sheikh Shuaib Maida. And 9:30 to 10, Maulana Salim Karim, very good topic, why is divorce so rife? So very important lecture that, and advices. 10 to 11, Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki. So that is our lineup. Barakallahu fiik. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And 4 to 6, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Tomorrow morning, inshallah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.